time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in the house with us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Hunger Games. I am positioning myself well away from Rich at this moment for fear of him thinking, ooh, wine and an entree.
Yes.
No, I just brought the wine.
It is. It's like that old Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah. Did you just tell Cutler not even to bother today? Like, don't even. Don't.
Well, as
I know they're on vacation.
But he's on vacation. I said, good, because if you brought in food that I couldn't eat, I'd eat your arm.
There you go.
I would tear it off and eat it.
Well, it's nice and meaty. I mean, he's still got those baseball arms.
Exactly.
So that's good. Well, geez, I'm awfully sorry to bring something that's just going to send you right straight to the moon, probably, having had absolutely no food in 20 hours or so. But
it's clear liquid. It's clear.
It is.
Liquid.
That's what I'm saying. It's just golden. It's if you're eating, if you're going to have broth tonight, there's no way this is more harmful. It's fruit juice. You had grape juice this morning,
I did.
Right?
This is grape juice
in the afternoon.
Yes,
done and done. So I'm going to kind of try to cover two topics today, really quick, as we sort of finish up my initial foray into, you know, how we as the common man learn about wine and can kind of, you know, get our heads a little bit more into that which we love so much. This is not, you know, ways to become an absolute, you know, expert. I'm not going to talk about all these courses you can take. There's if you ever want to become, you know, a certified wine professional of any kind, there's several different professions you can go into. Professional sommelier, professional wine educator. Those are all expensive and time consuming courses. But what ways that, you know, can you out there learn a little bit more about wine before we head into February and we start talking about wine agriculture and things like that? So there's a couple ways, and very often I talk about books at this time of year, but today I kind of actually, before I talk a little bit about kind of getting out there and learning about wine, what ways can you just kind of learn about wine at your desk? And I started to think about the interwebs, which I never really have talked about before, and I don't necessarily recommend to people because I've always been afraid of all the nonsense information on the internet, just as much as everybody else is. You know, there's just a lot of people, you know, you give anybody a wine blog and suddenly they know everything. I'm aware of this because at one point I had my own wine blog and I knew everything. And I think I had only been in the business about 2 years at that point. And I certainly, you know, it's, as you get on in life or in your career, you know, the more you know nothing. And it's all true. But there are some good things on the internet that I wanted to sort of bring your attention to and sort of talk about that we could, that I could steer you towards. And the first one is a really great website, and it has a sort of an accompanied, I mean, don't get me wrong. All these websites are trying to sell you something. Okay. So I will try to be as honest as I can when I'm talking about these websites about what they're going to try to sell you and what they'll be able to give you for free versus subscription and things like that. But the first one is Wine Folly, F-O-L-L-Y, Wine Folly. And it's a great website. It has, right when you land there, you're going to see the book. And it's a good book, and it's not expensive. And frankly, if you're going to buy a book, that's probably the book to buy these days. I think I own it. I think it's probably the most accessible and easy to understand. It has charts for those who need charts of, you know, this. It has descriptions, it has pairings. But the website itself is actually very, very useful. Tons of very easy to read articles on all the a lot of the subjects that frankly I talk about here. If you frankly don't like the sound of my voice or
what?
I can't
Please.
Understand how that could happen. But frankly, maybe, you know, you're just out somewhere and somebody mentioned something and you have 5 minutes to learn something. Well, it's a good place to go and spend 5 minutes and learn something. So that's winefolly.com. Check it out. Another one that I am on a lot, but obviously these guys have definitely stuff to sell, but it's an economic mover in the business, right? That's winespectator.com. Wine Spectator still obviously probably the power player in terms of wine publishing and promotion and marketing. I mean, that's the one, you know, when a restaurant in America really wants to feel good about itself, about its wine list, it will achieve, you know, it will go for a Wine Spectator award, things like that. And Wine Spectator also has reviews. So if you're somebody who likes to look up reviews and get sort of critical assessments of wine written by people, I'll be honest, who do know what they're talking about. The people who write for Wine Spectator are no joke. People may think that, you know, this columnist has their own slant. Well, of course they do. You know, we're on a sort of a sports slanted show right now, and we all know that sports journalists all have their own slant too. So do wine journalists. It's a thing, but it's cool. They know what they're talking about. And as I said, you can find a lot there. Now, of course, the majority of stuff, the really meaty stuff on Wine Spectator, you can become a member. But then you also get the magazine at a greatly reduced rate. And full access on Wine Spectator actually gives you a lot of stuff that's much more, as opposed to grape-specific and region-specific. This is more producer-specific and wine-specific. The third one I wanted to mention, which is kind of cool, and it's definitely much more targeted for a younger audience, and those who, this is where I start to sound old, but they who use the Pinterests and things like that. this is a website called VinePair, 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 and it looks like a Pinterest site or something like that. Like it's not a traditional journalism site where I was like, oh, this is how you negotiate this. Frankly, it's much easier to negotiate than you'd think. It's just that I search for complexity where, in fact, they're trying to create, you know, interfaces that are, you know, keep it simple, stupid sort of things. But I'm so stupid that I can't even keep it simple. But those are three websites that I just think, you know, if you're ever sitting at home and you want to kind of look something up, I think those are very, very good websites. And hopefully you don't pay too much. But if you want to spend a little bit here or there, become a member. Also, if anybody is really obsessed with Burgundy, there's a really good website that, yes, there's a membership thing, but it's called Burghound, Burghound, Burghound. And that guy's obsessed and in a good way. And so if Burgundy being kind of one of the most complex regions on Earth and you need someone who's obsessed, that's a pretty cool one. So check that out. The other way that I wanted to sort of talked about learning about wine is we're here in Maine. Of course, it's not like wine country, but we do have a lot of wineries here. And as I've been mentioning, more and more wineries that are growing their own grapes and really doing the whole process from start to finish. Now, of course, these grapes you're going to find on Maine winery in Maine vineyards, by and large, are going to be hybrid varietals. Hybrid varietals are grapes that were made predominantly we've talked over and over and over about the phylloxera louse and all these other issues with growing vines in America. So a lot of these experiments in creating these hybrid grapes, which were, you know, combinations of grafting this and doing this, or doing, you know, seed grafting and all sorts of very interesting processes in labs, was to create vines that were hardy enough to withstand phylloxera and things like that. And ultimately, that's not really what ended up happening. They figured out the phylloxera trick by grafting European vinifera vines onto North American rootstock, which is not super complex. It's actually a very easy thing to do. It was very successful. But what we did find is that these hybrid grapes that they came up with were very good for other purposes, one of which is ripening fast enough to develop the right amount of sugars and liquids that you could harvest it and make palatable wine in regions like Maine, for instance. But of course, a lot of these were also developed, Cornell, which is in Ithaca, New York, of course, not a warm place at this time of year. Also in Minnesota, Upper Peninsula of Michigan. A lot of these places were very instrumental in developing these hybrid varietals further to not worry about so much about, you know, things like bugs, but worrying about harvesting them at a time before frosts came, or indeed if frosts came, could the skins survive and could they be hardy enough grapes? And so we've come up with a lot of really interesting things that you're going to continue to see more and more and more of. Vidal Blanc. Vidal Blanc is a wonderful wine that you see a lot in the Niagara Peninsula making ice wines and other things like that. Red grapes like Frontenac. You see Frontenac a lot. Marechal Foch, Saint Croix, Léon Mio. Léon Mio was actually developed in Alsace, another place that is not particularly warm at this time of year. And even though they do grow vinifera, certainly, of course, we have a lot of, you know, wonderful Gewürztraminer, Riesling, Pinot Noir from Alsace. There are parts, as you get up higher into the mountains, there they needed to come up with something more creative. So they came up with the Léon Mio, for instance. The wine I brought today is made out of another hybrid varietal called Saint-Papin, or Saint Pepin, Saint Pepin is itself a hybrid developed from another hybrid called Sauval Blanc, and it is kind of Riesling-like with a little bit more citrusy quality and a bit of almost a roasted quality to it. It's very, very interesting. This is First Kiss. This is First Kiss from Savage Oaks Winery. It is a dessert wine. This is a late harvest Saint Pepin, so they leave it on the vines for quite a while to get overripe. And the thing about the Saint Pepin, and as I was mentioning, is it is a fairly hardy grape. So as we get into the cooler, oh my God, it's going to survive. Yes, it does. And it makes a really nice dessert wine. And Savage Oaks and some other folks here in Maine, if you go to the Maine Wine Trail, which you can just type into the Google, I've made myself sound completely analog today, which is fantastic. I've added either the in front of internet or interwebs or things like that. It's tremendous, and it's all true, by the way. I'm analog to the core. But go and seek these places out. If not now, perhaps during the warmer summer months when it's a little bit more lovely and not gusting and sleeting and stuff. But go out and learn and ask. Go out into the vineyards, see what it looks like. It's a cool idea. These people love to have visitors. Often at their tasting rooms, they'll have things that aren't available, say, on my shelves. They're just winery only, so you get to try some cool new things and see what it's like. Between that and reading a little bit, going on the internet, you'll find yourself with a much better grounding in what it is that I do for a living. And that way, you're probably going to make out all the better when you come into the wine shop and say, hey, I was just reading about this. I'd really like to try that. And I'll get all super geeky, and then you can get kind of geeky, and we can geek out together. It'll be fabulous. I did want to mention before I run out of time, we do have, of course, our monthly tasting this month is on the 15th, I believe, the third Thursday, 15th, from 5 to 7. And we'll have some wonderful wines as usual. And aside from that, of course, I do hope that everybody is driving safe in the snow that came rather unexpectedly.
Yes.
Be safe out there. If you haven't left where you were in a couple hours, the snow's worse than you think. So do be safe out there. Of course, we are open at the shop. So don't hesitate. Just, go slow down Hammond or up Hammond and get there safely, and we'll be there until 8 o'clock tonight. I'm sorry that we were only there until 6 o'clock last night for anybody who tried to come, but I did have some staffing problems thanks to this wonderful flu. I hope that goes away, and I hope if anybody out there has the flu, that you're feeling better. Rich, I hope you make it through this.
This was the highlight of my day. That was lovely.
Well, there's no chance it wasn't. I've heard what else you've had. Clear gelatin? Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, cheers, everyone.
That's Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday afternoon.